Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Mike Eccles, senior correspondent here in Prague, filling in for our regular host, Steve Gutterman. So, Alexei Navalny. He's comatose, lying in a Berlin hospital, on a ventilator, reportedly in stable but serious condition. His German doctors say he was poisoned. Navalny doesn't need much of an introduction for most listeners of this podcast, but here's a quick bio. He is arguably Russia's most famous opposition leader at this moment in time. Over nearly a decade, he's leveraged a knack for acerbic wit and dogged investigative work and built a formidable organization that has tormented and challenged the Kremlin unlike any other. He's run for public office. He's been prosecuted. His allies and his relatives have been charged, harassed, pressured, and compromised. He's been subject to a range of threats and physical attacks. In 2017, for example, a couple of men outside the Moscow office of his anti-corruption foundation attacked Navalny, threw bright green iodine mixture on him, which badly damaged his eyesight in one of his eyes. It was the most notorious attack on Navalny up until August 20th. That's when Navalny was flying back to Moscow from the Siberian city of Tomsk, and he fell violently ill. The plane made an emergency landing in Omsk. He was rushed to the emergency room, and he was put into a medical coma. 2 days later, Navalny was evacuated to Berlin. 2 days after that, German doctors announced that Navalny had been poisoned with a cholinesterase inhibitor. That is a chemical toxin found in things like pesticides. It's also a toxin found in the Soviet-era military-grade nerve agent known as Novichok. Novichok, of course, was the toxin identified in the 2018 attack in England that almost killed the ex-Russian double agent Sergei Skripal and his daughter. British authorities say Russian military agents were to blame. So, was Navalny's poisoning an outright assassination attempt? If so, why? Why now? By whom? The Kremlin hates Navalny so much that they refuse to literally say his name. But is it in the Kremlin's interest to kill him? Wouldn't that just make him a martyr? Or maybe perhaps one of Russia's intelligence agencies decided that with a wink and a nod from the Kremlin, they would take matters into their own hands and leave the Kremlin with plausible deniability and try to take Navalny out. Mark Krutov is one of the sharpest Russian investigative reporters working these days, drilling down hard into complex subjects. He's also a good colleague with RFERL's Russia service, and he's joined me here today to talk about Navalny. Mark, dobro pozhelovat. Thank you and welcome.
Hi, Mike. Thank you. So what's your main question? I mean, you said about different theories. Was he poisoned, or was he poisoned directly by Putin, or was it orchestrated by some of Russian intelligence? So what to begin with?
Well,
with the fact itself that he was poisoned.
Well, yes? let's begin with the fact that, one, he was poisoned.
In my opinion, there is no doubt he was poisoned, because it's too much to be a coincidence. Navalny don't have any medical records pointing that he could suffer it from some disease or something. But I would say we cannot be sure for 100% that this poisoning was directed and planned directly by Vladimir Putin. If we take it more broadly, Kremlin, as you said. Yeah, because Kremlin is a very wide term. So I should say that doesn't mean, in my opinion, that Kremlin or Putin are not responsible for that. Because in any case, sure, they are. For creating a kind of system where political killings are widely acceptable as a way to confront your political adversaries. So the same thing as was with Boris Nemtsov's murder. There are still a few options of how exactly it was planned, and not all of these options include direct order by Vladimir Putin. Maybe it was a kind of a birthday present, birthday gift from someone from his close circle, like head of Rosguardia, Viktor Zolotov, or president of Chechnya, Ramzan Kadyrov. We don't know it. And one thing is common. Whoever did this, I mean both Navalny poisoning attempt and Nemtsov murder and many more, this man knew that one thing for sure, that no one will really investigate such kind of crime in order to identify the man or a group of men behind the plot. And I also would say that we have the Kremlin and the Russian authorities has a long trail history of such poisonings and crimes. So Navalny was poisoned with a substance that contains, as you correctly said, cholinesterase inhibitors. And as we can judge from what we know now, it's not an ordinary pesticide or something. It would have some smell or something else. But these inhibitors are indeed, as you have said also, are pointing at the sophisticated poisons developed for Russian military in the Soviet era. So most probably it was something containing organophosphates, and such kind of poison, as we know, was used in Skripal's poisoning. And no wonder that Berlin doctors, as we knew yesterday evening, already asked for help, for example, Porton Down Lab, which identified Novichok in Skripal's poisoning case. But I'm afraid that in this time there is a huge possibility that we'll never find exactly with what kind of substance he was poisoned, because these inhibitors, they tend to vanish from the body very, very quickly. So it's really a matter of hours. And that's why many suspect in Russia that Navalny was not released from Omsk hospital exactly because of that, because somebody wanted these traces to disappear. So, yes, probably all these questions will remain unanswered. But I think a lot of things point to the fact that it was poisoning and Navalny was the target of this attack. But as I've said before, we cannot say for sure that it was Vladimir Putin's idea. Maybe it was somebody else.
So let's back up a bit and drill down on that point. Of course, Navalny's made lots of enemies over the years with his splashy, witty investigations, media presentations that have really captured the imagination for a lot of Russians who are either disenchanted with the Kremlin or unhappy with local leadership. Among the targets of the Russian elites that he's highlighted with corruption allegations, former Prime Minister Dmitry Medvedev, Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu, Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov, Deputy Prime Minister Igor Shuvalov, Investigative Committee head Alexander Bastrykin, there are lots of people who would like to shut him up. So, you know, as you point out, it's plausible that Putin didn't say, "Hey guys, go kill Navalny," but it's more plausible that someone else sort of took the wink and the nod and said, "Okay, maybe it would be better to get rid of him, to shut him up, or to debilitate him." Recall that doctors have said that there will be long term consequences, and he will be rehabilitating for quite some time. So what do you think of all that?
Yeah, maybe the goal was not to kill him, I agree, but to put him out of the politics for a long period of time. But we should remember that, after all, it was Vladimir Putin's prominent, not also critic, but I would say enemy, personal enemy. Putin don't even pronounce his name usually. So I would not fear to say this word enemy. He was his worst personal enemy, and also the kind of a poison which was used, this organophosphates containing poison, it's quite a complicated thing. If you was one of the persons you listed, you mentioned, like I don't know, Shuvalov or some local politic from Siberia whom he was investigating, it would really, I think, look like those incidents which happened to Navalny in Moscow before, so something comparatively light. But this kind of poisoning, very, very neat one, points to the fact that it was organized by somebody who has an access to the poisons of that class.
It was so sophisticated, the poison.
I think it was quite sophisticated, because like 15 minutes before boarding the plane, Navalny was okay. So the man who did it, He probably knew how long the poison, how many time will pass until the poison will start to go in effect, and that's on, and that should be poisoned which should cannot be identified so quickly by doctors. They send Navalny's blood to Moscow laboratory, and they received the results saying they didn't find any traces of the poison itself. There are some allegations that these results were fabricated on their way from Moscow back to Omsk. We still don't know for sure, of course, but there are small signs that point to the fact that if not Putin, it was somebody very close to him, not just like person like Shuvalov or even Shoigu. I don't say about Medvedev and so on.
The we could do a whole separate podcast on the history of poisonings in the post-Soviet era. Litvinenko, Skripal, Anna Politkovskaya, Yuri Shevchikin. There are quite a few, and we could again devote a whole separate podcast to that issue. But let's come back to Navalny and his politics for a moment. In addition to being investigative, anti-corruption crusader, he ran for office in 2013 to be Moscow's mayor, ended up with 27% of the vote. In 2016, he announced he would challenge Putin, challenged Putin for the presidency. But a court conveniently handed him a suspended sentence for a previous dubious conviction, and that kept him off the ballot. Navalny has managed to consistently organize sizable rallies around the country against official corruption. But it seems like he hasn't necessarily been able to translate that into a wider political base or organization. What's a good way to explain that? Do you think he is a better investigator, corruption crusader than he is politician? Is there a reason to think that his efforts could yield some sort of political organization that could, a party that could indeed challenge Putin in some sort of fundamental way?
So, well, first of all, I do not agree really about the political base. I think Navalny has the widest political base in Russia after the base that Putin has. Maybe some communists can compete with him in this field, but I think Navalny's political base is now larger than even there. So he is a politic. Well, yes, he was a blogger, anti-corruption crusader. His history, like 20 years ago. But since that, a lot of things changed, and he learned from his own mistakes. And we shouldn't forget about the fact that modern Russia is no modern Belarus, for example, where at least 60, 70, or even 80% of population are in fact voted against Lukashenko and want him to go. I think Navalny's real political base could be around 40, 50%. And Vladimir Putin still has quite solid support in the framework where he can trade quite poor living conditions, maybe, for national pride, for example, after annexing Crimea and things like that. Mm-hmm. 20 years ago, Navalny was indeed quite poor politician. But since that, he learned some lessons. And now he acts, I think, exactly like politicians, like politician. That's why, for example, he has to be publicly quite neutral about the same Crimea issue. Yes, Crimea annexation and things like that. If you want wider political base in Russia as a politic, you can't ignore the fact that a lot of people adore this annexation. Mm-hmm. The same thing about his xenophobia and nationalism. Yes, indeed, he participated in so-called Russian March years ago. And sometimes he goes back to that rhetoric, but very, very rare comparing to what it was like 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So, in other words, he's sort of moderated his message and tried to broaden his appeal.
Yes, and he did, he did broaden it. Mm. Yeah.
That's interesting. We'll have to watch and see what happens. Again, Navalny, we're hoping for his recovery, and we're hoping that his long term rehabilitation will be not lengthy or debilitating. We'll have to see once he comes out of his coma in Berlin. So. That's all good to keep in mind. And Mark, spasibo ogromnoe. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Mike.
That's it for us, folks. This is RFERL's Week Ahead in Russia. Thank you all for tuning in.